And so today we had a little bit of a change in the schedule. Today I will be moderating and presenting the first presentation. My name is Nedra Garrett. The second presentation will be by Joe Lombardo, and the third by Keith Boone. And we're going to talk to you about a project that we started some months ago and actually demonstrated at the HEMS conference, but we're going to be talking about it from three different angles. I'll be presenting to you kind of an overall perspective of the project. Joe will talk about the alert repository that they have actually built for us to support this, and then Keith will actually be presenting the electronic health record perspective using a GE Centricity system. So with that, just a little bit of background on each of us. I'm actually in the National Center for Public Health Informatics. I'm an informatics manager, health scientist, and I have the lead for this EHR project. Joe Lombardo is with Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab, and he is the director of the JHU APL Center of Excellence of Public Health Informatics. And then we have Keith Boone, who is an interoperability architect involved in a lot of the HITSPE work, a lot of the standards work. I'm sure you've probably heard his name before as well. So with that, I will go ahead and get started, and Joe will keep me straight on time to moderate me here. So what I want to present to you today is really just give you an overview of the project, present an example scenario, and discuss the key components of the EHR alerting solution and talk a little bit about our vision for the future. The stakeholders of this project, as I've mentioned already, is GE Healthcare. They're the electronic health record vendor. The Public Health Informatics Center of Excellence, we've been working with two. In addition to Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab, we've also been working with the University of Utah as well, that's been providing some of the public health perspective to the project. And also, we've been working with the health information exchanges, and Charlie Magruder has been facilitating a lot of that work with the health HIEs, particularly the Indiana one and University of Washington. And also, our primary stakeholder that we are certainly in need of a lot of feedback from is the state and local public health agencies. So, the objective of this project is really to demonstrate a public health agency being able to generate an actionable public health alert that can be consumed by electronic medical record system. And when we say actionable, it means that the alert actually has enough information in it that can actually be consumed by the EHR to trigger the appropriate information in providing a utility there for the clinical provider. And we want to demonstrate the effectiveness of a public-private collaborative. And in this sense, we're working with GE, and we demonstrated this. The two things that are checked, these two have been demonstrated before at the HEMS conference. And we want to determine if public health alerting systems can be leveraged to identify very specific information in that health record to identify risk factors that relate to the health condition that's specified in the alert. And we want to demonstrate how this can be integrated into public health information. The public health information can be integrated within the clinical workflow. This is very important because it needs to be complementary. It doesn't need to be redundant. It needs to, I guess an operative word would be seamlessly integrate within that workflow. And we, as we do with all good informatics projects, we need to evaluate the impact. We need to evaluate, how it's actually helping to improve clinicians' behavior. Is it providing utility? Is it, how do we address the whole issue around alert fatigue to ensure that providers are getting the information that they need and not being overburdened with the information? And some of the considerations that's a little bit different from what you see in the medical informatics arena with the implementation of alerts and reminders. With public health, there are a number of considerations that are important to look at. Number one, our information tends to be a little bit more dynamic in nature. It tends to change a lot. We have a need to identify, how urgent or severe the public health problem is. We oftentimes have multiple alerts with the same problem. As you probably know with H1N1, you know, there were multiple alerts that one may come out on Tuesday, another one on Wednesday, another one on Friday. So we have a lot of information that tends to be related to the same event that comes out. Unlike in the medical sector where you may have a guideline on diabetes management, and that typically will be the way that it is for some time. But with our information, it tends to change a lot because of the changing landscape of the problem, because there are new cases, there are new locations. And the information tends to be more population-based than it is patient-specific. And we have a multitude of stakeholders involved in our response efforts. And so the question is, related to information exchange, how can providers be alerted to outbreaks that are relevant to the patient at the time of care? And so the way that we are proposing this is that you would, come on. Am I stuck? The mouse click wasn't working. Sorry about that. The way in which we are proposing this is through the use of a public health alert repository. So in this particular slide, you have where you have a H1N1 virus there at the bottom on the right-hand side here that the state and local public health departments have been alerted to. And so these alerts, with the way that we propose a solution is that these alerts would actually reside in this public health alert repository. And the way in which it would be exchanged with the healthcare provider is through this HCPT 81 communication standard that Keith will talk a little bit more about how that is implemented in the EMR system. And so the way that we see this public health EHR alerting flow in context of H1N1, on the top of the line you have the public health agency where they're actually monitoring some public health event and discovers that there's an H1N1 outbreak. And so once that outbreak has been identified and a message is then being sent, we need to create that message to create an EMR-friendly version of that message, just like I mentioned earlier, that can be consumed by that electronic health record. But that message would contain information on symptoms, location, some guidance on contact exposure, prioritization, risk factors, and so forth. And so that information would be created and authored in this knowledge repository where it would sit. And so this information would reside there. And so below the line, you would have where a provider would be seeing a patient. So this would be during the patient encounter, where as soon as the patient comes in with signs and symptoms that are documented, the info button request works in the background, and that information is packaged and then sent to the repository. And there's a process where there's a matching algorithm that happens where it determines if the condition in that package actually matches the condition in that alert. And if it does, what happens is that information is then downloaded back to the EMR and then presented to the clinician in that patient's electronic health record. And the process of creating the alert, I won't go through the demo. We have station and interoperability showcase where you can come and visit, and I can illustrate to you how that actually, in more detail, how that actually happens. But essentially, what we have is the EHR-friendly alert is created, and as you see, we have captured here a summary of the events, some symptoms, some demographic information. And so this is information that we would actually create. And this is how it would present in the repository. We would create the event and enter in information about the disease, provide title of the information. You can see where we capture information on severities and cases and so forth, and the symptoms and prevention. And this particular information is actually pre-populated because the way in which we constructed this is that we have a separate conditions repository where the information is automatically pulled from that and pre-populated into the alert itself. And the other thing that's important here is we can provide some additional information like questions that might be relevant for the provider to ask of the patient. Some of those questions, particularly in context of H1N1, might relate to age. You might ask questions on the patient's age, if they're in one of the risk categories where they're pregnant or have an immunocompromised system. So this is information that we can pass along to the provider to ask, because I suspect after a given period of time that the provider would actually know how to treat. And so we have to think about what value add can we provide to that clinician, what new kinds of information would be useful from public health to present to that physician. And so this is a process by which we distribute that alert using the T81 info button request. This is where Keith will talk about how the EHR system will pull that information from the knowledge repository. And the way in which we envision that working is you would have a patient that would present to the clinic. In this case, we have a 9-year-old healthy child that has developed fever, cough, stuffy nose. And so as soon as that chief complaint is documented in the system as fever, chills, coughs, so forth, that information is then packaged and sent to the repository. And we have here where it's illustrating how the anonymous patient profile is created from the EHR system. And so this is a package that's actually sent to the repository using the T81 info button standard, or the info button construct, I suppose, is the right way to say it.
The T81 retrieve medical knowledge construct is the HL7 context sensitive aware open paren info button close paren standard.
For those of you who wanted to know the specifics of it.
If you want the pedantic details.
So what happens is when that information is packed, when that package is sent to the repository, JHU actually has this chief complaint parcel that they use within their Essence system, where they're able to take these lay terms or these concepts that typically patients appear with and translate them into a standard nomenclature. And so here you have where stuffy nose is translated to congestion. And so here you see where we have determined there's a match on these particular symptoms. Cough to cough, fever, chills, so forth. And so upon matching, that's when the alert is made available in the HR. And you see here where it shows with the red button here that there is an alert available that matches that patient's symptoms. And this is what the an illustration of what the full alert will look like presented in that EHR system. And you have additional information on prevention that might be used to educate the patient, treatment information, as well as additional links that are included. And this can be illustrated, as I said, a little more in detail at the demonstration that we have, which is actually planned from 3 to 4 today at the Finn booth. And we have the interoperability showcase that is open during all the exhibit hours that we can give you more details about this. In terms of the future and where we're headed, one of the things that we really want to do is to expand the function of the alert repository. We've talked about being able to archive case information, and that case information could be a nice rich ground for surveillance activities, because if you can imagine a request going to the repository, although it may have yielded a null value back, if you can capture those requests, then that information could be, in fact, useful in surveillance. And we want to evaluate the use with multiple standards. As Keith mentioned with the T81, that's what we're using now, but we've also experimented with RFD, and that's a standard that University of Washington is actually presenting in the interoperability showcase. And we want to certainly be able to test and implement this in different environments. We also are in conversations with NHN on how to promote the repository within the NHN environment to increase the access and availability of the alerts. The vocab services and GIS is another area which is important, because you can imagine with GIS, it gives us the ability to be a little more specific about the locations, be able to expand the proximity without having to enter manual zip code every time. And this is just an example of the services that we have designed in the architect. Those things that are in gray are things that we are doing now. And this is a model where we have actually accommodated a local instance of the repository. We've talked about a national, federal, and this is what you see here. But we also have the ability, if a local or state wants to subscribe to this national repository and have a local instance because of some governance concerns, then that we can accommodate as well. We've architected it in such a way that we can accommodate both. Obviously, the latter would be more resource intensive. And again, the NHN integration is another area where we've, as I mentioned to earlier, where we would try to promote the repository within that environment. And so with that, that ends my part of it. What we'll do is, was that 20 minutes, Joe?
You have a couple more minutes.
Okay. With that, I have time for a few questions from the audience. Yes. Right.
So I'll be speaking to that as we move forward.
Yeah, certainly we have talked about addressing alert fatigue and not having same information come down all the time. So Keith will speak to that a little bit more, but we have accommodated that. Yes.
It's a great presentation. Would you explain more about the knowledge repository function?
The knowledge repository? Great segue into the next presentation. Joe will actually be coming up to present that in more detail because JHU actually built, modified, and designed this for us. So hopefully you'll have your answer. If you don't get it in the presentation, make sure you ask the question, ask more of Joe. Any more questions? Yes.
We'll show you that when we actually go through the demonstration as to how that actually works.
And they actually haven't closed it. It's still actually open. But Keith will talk a little bit more about that. Howard?
And can the provider get this alert feed information back into the repository?
That,
so as we've presently implemented, no, we don't have a feedback mechanism, but we've been talking for some time about how to build that feedback in, and there's some new work from IHE that updates a history profile that we can potentially look at to do that.
And that's a very important aspect of it, because we have to provide a value add back to public health, and that information needs to be going back so that it is available to public health as well. Well, we are planning a pilot at this point, hopefully with this next quarter here. So I would suspect by the first of the year, if all goes as planned, we should have the repository sufficiently populated and comprehensive to be able to have it available for the public health community, because really all you need to be able to do in acting with it is using the HITSB standard. So if you can use that standard to connect to it to extract information, then that's really all you need. So.